In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. If you remember, we started last week to speak about a new series of power. And by power, I was using each letter of the word, trying to understand what it means. So we started by the first letter, P, last week, meaning prayer. And today I want to continue talking about the second letter, which is O, which stands for obedience. As you hear the scripture today from the book of John in chapter 6, God gave us a very strong commandment, and the commandment in verse 27 says, "Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life." And you would wonder, how would I do that? How can I obey God's commandment and actually do it? Is it so important for me to think about this and follow God and follow His commandment? Or I can just pick and choose whatever I want? Try to obey what makes sense to me and try to ignore what does not make sense. Sadly, some people look at the Bible that you can select and choose. And by the way, in case you don't know the word heresy, the word heresy in Greek, it means pick and choose. The word heresy means pick and choose, because the early church fathers thought that should not be it when you read and you try to interpret all verses in the Bible. There is no picking and choosing things. Wherever God says, we obey and do it. And St. Paul gave us a good, strong proof of this meaning when he said in the book of Romans 5:19, "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous." Meaning, by Adam's disobedience we all became sinners. By the Lord's obedience to His Father, remember we call Him the Son, so by His obedience to the Father, He came down, He took flesh, became man, and died for us to save us. We can now go back into heaven. And you'll be amazed to know the meaning of the word obey in Hebrew. In Hebrew is Shema. Shema is used in the whole Old Testament, which means to hear intelligently. And if you notice here, the word Shema is similar or close to the Arabic sama. Sama means also hear, you listen. And when you ask somebody to listen, it means he must listen to your instructions and do it. In the New Testament, it has a different meaning. In the New Testament, as you know, it was all written in Greek, and the word is habokou. Habokou comes like from a couple of words. The first one, hapo, meaning under or beneath, and akou, meaning to hear. In simple meaning or simple word, it means to hear under, meaning to hear under authority, to hear under some higher authority. And this higher authority for us is God Himself. And we get that also from the book of John 14:15, when God said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," meaning obey my commandments, listen to my commandments, and follow the instructions that I said. When God says that you must hear and listen, we cannot pick and choose and make our own choices. There is no choice when it comes to the Word of God. When God says something, we must do it in full obedience. Partial obedience is disobedience. Partial obedience is what? A disobedience. You cannot take some that you obey and some that you do not. And let me give you a story like what we did last week. I give you the story about St. Peter. This time, let me give you a story from the Old Testament, from the first book of Samuel, and the story happens in chapter 15. And here's what happened. Samuel said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you to be king over His people, over Israel. Now therefore heed the voice of the words of the Lord." So Samuel is reminding Saul that it was God who made him a king, the king of Israel. Therefore, he is obliged to hear the commandments of God. He must do it. he really should do it. The same things can be said about God's children today. Just as God did not make Saul king of Israel because of his own merits, neither we are deserving to be God's children. God selected us. He chose us. He made us his children. By his grace, as St. Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, when he said, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast." St. Paul goes further and adds in the 1 Corinthians chapter 6, "You are not your own. You are not your own. For you were bought. You were bought like purchased at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So what happened with Saul? Here's what happened, something really sad. God said to Saul, "I will punish Amalek," Amalek in Arabic, "for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have, and do not spare them. Do not spare them. But kill both man and woman, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." Remember that Amalek was the grandson of Esau, that was mentioned in the book of Genesis in chapter 36, and his descendants were all called Amalekites. They were great enemies of Israel. And when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, and the Amalekites made like a cowardly attack upon those weak and weary Israelites. So God wants to destroy the enemies of God. Of course, as you would expect, we hear so much about people saying God in the Old Testament was very tough, and that reminds us with what's happening with non-Christian. That's not true. It says he destroyed everybody, did not spare anyone, even infants and even animals. Yes. Why? God said the wage of sin is what? Death. The wage of sin, death. So anybody who sins must die. So God was always reminding the Israelites that he is using people to fulfill his commandments. Let me prove that to you from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 9 verse 5. It says, "It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart that you go in to possess their land, but because of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, and that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." So God was fulfilling his commandment. He warned everybody before. So God also very just. That's how God is. We will be worried that he will not be just with us and he will not help us the way it should be. From the Old Testament, let me give you some other proofs that God also gave the opportunity to everybody to repent and come back and be his son. In the book of Jeremiah in chapter 17:10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings." God searches the heart and the mind, and he knows what everyone is doing, and he will give everyone according to his doings, according to his ways, according to his acts, his deeds, whatever he does to prove his love to God. In the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 18:21, the Lord said, "But if the wicked turn from all his sins that he has committed and keep all my statutes and do that which is lawful and right, he shall surely live, he shall not die." So God is giving us all the opportunities. That's from the Old Testament. He is waiting and willing to forgive and bring everybody back. He said, "He who comes back to me, I will never cast out." Just to come and admit your sin and confess your sins, and God will do it. So we do not take God's commandment seriously, and we do not follow His commandments, and we do not obey. Here's what happened when Saul thought, and he said, maybe God did not know exactly what He is talking about. Maybe I should not kill everybody. Maybe I should keep a few things. God doesn't know what I need. I will keep the good things, and I will make an excuse that I will use it to make it for offering sacrifices to God. We do that. We always do that. It continues in the first book of Samuel, chapter 15. It says, but Saul and people spared Agag. Agag is the name of the king of Amalek. And the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling. Saul was unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless, that they utterly destroyed. They made their own decision. Look at this. There is something bad we destroy. Whatever good we will keep. Even the king, why would he keep something that God considered to be wicked, that will spoil the land and will spoil your church? Can you bring someone into your house and you know that person is a person who curses and swears, and he sits in your own home, your church, and let him swear and curse and do bad things? Would you do it? Let's be honest here. Would you do it? Of course not. Why? Because his presence at my house will defile the house. His talks inside my house will defile my house. I would not let it happen. This is the land of God. For you to allow the wicked to live in this area, they defile the land of God that God created. So God was very careful to tell him, destroy all Amalek. But he did not. He thought God doesn't know what he is talking about. If God said it, we must do it. So Samuel came and of course spoke to him, how could you not obey the commandment that God has given you? From now on, you, Saul, will be cast out of the kingdom of God. And you know the rest of the story, that he died and his children also died. All of them. Because they did not obey the commandments. They took part of the commandments. They made their own mind, their own interpretation. There is no personal interpretation when it comes to the doctrine of the church and what God is. We can make our personal contemplation. That's a different story. So if I go wrong in my contemplation, that's fine. It is personal contemplation. But when it comes to doctrine and what God says, no one can or should even touch it. I always tell everyone that consider the doctrine like a box. This box is a box of steel. You cannot even come in. You can see it, you can read it, you can understand it, but you cannot touch it. You cannot change it. This is the doctrine. This is what God is in our church, and we cannot ever try to make our own understanding of it. Thank God the early church fathers have already made the interpretation for us. They made it much easier. So why should I go the distance? Try to make a different interpretation. Those who went to make the different interpretation did not obey God and His commandments the way it should be. They split into many churches. And let's look at the statistics. How many denominations came after Martin Luther when he broke from the Catholic Church in the 16th century? How many now? Anybody knows a number? One easy number to remember. 1,000. 1,000 denominations. Can you imagine? And I would expect maybe more. This is like a round figure. Could be much even more and worse. Why? Because everybody says, why not? He did it. Why not I do it my way? I can do this in this way. And everybody starts to make his own interpretation. He makes his own denomination. It will never end. That's where we as Orthodox should be very strong. Orthodox meaning straight, direct. Wherever we receive, we will never deviate by even micro inch. Not even by a micro inch. So if I obey God, what happens to me? Is there any reward? Of course, God is so merciful and so just that He will not just look at you to punish you. He only look at commandments. Here is what I said, here is what you do. You don't do it, there are punishments, of course, but if you do it, there are so many good benefits. For example, in the book of Romans, in chapter 6, we talk about the great freedom that you receive in the Lord. It says, "Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves, slaves to obey, you are that one's slaves whom you obey?" Meaning, if you obey Satan, for example, if you obey the society outside and how we eat and drink and dress, you become a slave to the society, not to God. Then he continues and says, "Whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart." You obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. The minute you start to obey God from your heart, you are free from sin. You enjoy this freedom. You enjoy the peace of God. You enjoy to be the royal family that belongs to God, the King, not to anybody else. It may be painful, costing us something. It did cost the Lord Himself His life when He was on earth. In the book of Philippians, in chapter 2:8, St. Paul said, "And being found in appearance as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient. He became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." But the benefits will outweigh the cost for obedience, and that will open so many doors for us. It is a key that will unlock all the doors for you. For example, it will unlock the door of blessing. In the book of Deuteronomy, in chapter 11, in verses 26 to 28, it says, "Behold, I set before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but you turn aside from the way which I command you today, to go after other gods which you have not known." You receive the blessings if you obey the commandments. Number two, it will unlock the doors of healing. In Exodus chapter 15, 26, it says, "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, give ear to His commandments and keep all His statutes, I will put none of the disease on you which I have brought unto the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you." See, if you obey the commandments, I will heal you. Number three, obedience will unlock the door for the things to happen. In Zechariah, in chapter 6, 15, it says, "Even those from afar shall come and build the temple of the Lord. Then you shall know that the Lord of the host has sent me to you. And this shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God." Obedience will unlock the doors to prosperity. It says in the book of Job, in chapter 36, "If they obey and serve Him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. But if they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge." Number five, obedience unlocks the door to overflow. You get more than what you are asking for. It says in the book of Luke, in chapter 5, "But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, when I hear your word and obey it, I will let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking." Number six, and the last point, that obedience unlocks the door to receive the Holy Spirit, to enjoy the fruits of the Holy Spirit, like love, joy, and peace. In the book of Acts, in chapter 5:32, it is written, "And we are His witnesses to these things, and so also is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey Him." God will bestow His Holy Spirit upon you and give you all what you want. Obedience is a key to unlock the supernatural gifts that God will give you. Obedience can change every one of us, and it changes our life to be God's true children. And glory be to Him now and forever. Amen.